Hi, this is your play button. Thank you for pressing me. However, if you are under the age of 18, are not terribly broad-minded, or have a boss at work who likes you less than a tax audit, then I would encourage you to press my cousin, the stop button. Otherwise, welcome to Ypres Choice. Welcome to Ypres Choice, the show that is more well-loved than the Japanese dub of Evangelion, and more hated than the English dub of Naruto.
Suspicious auditory stimulus detected.
Hi guys, it's Sev, Ypres again. I'm sorry I've waited so long to put out a new show, but, you know, it's been kind of busy, and every time I worked up some new stuff, it just came by the wayside. But what I've planned out now is, if you're listening to this, then chances are I've also posted up a second clip show. Now, this won't actually be an official episode. I will have something like a rant about my life in Otakudom. I know I was talking about this to somebody earlier on in the week about I'm going to start doing stuff like My Life in Otakudom. Now, this is not the fact that I'm a true otaku in any sense of the word, because, no offense, you can't consider yourself an otaku where I am. It's just, no. One convention so far, no outlet, no friends, no nearby clubs. Mate, one club, but you've got to travel to Dublin in order to experience it. No, it's not fun. Not fun at all to be an anime fan here. But yeah, I'm going to do some mini rants, you know, just stuff where I've sit there and beat my head against the wall and trying to get people who don't know about anime to understand what it is I'm doing. Oh, if you can hear this rustling, this is me just eating some Manhattan peanuts. Manhattan, tasty Americana. Okay, we're going to go straight into the news right after this clip, okay?
So you want to hear people talk about Japanese cartoons?
You know, anime.
But you think the other anime podcasters just aren't nerdy enough?
Sounds like you need to join forces with the Anime World Order.
Where each week, three self-proclaimed experts offer you reviews.
Of titles both new and classic, news and commentary.
Rants, convention reports, interviews with fandom.
And some hentai and yaoi for good measure.
So search for anime in the iTunes music store.
Or visit our website at animeworldorder.com.
Anime World Order, revealing the truth about anime, one podcast at a time.
News. Okay, the news this week, I've got a mixture this week of stuff from England and stuff from the United States. So first up, we're going to go straight to Anime News Network, and according to this, Ryosuke Takahashi, there you go, director of the Space Trooper Votom series, I think I'm reasonably certain I got that title right, announced at C3X Hobby 2006 in Japan that he will be directing a new Votom series in 2007. Votoms is an old school anime that was released recently in box sets by CPM, and hopefully CPM will be able to finish off the box sets before the end of the year, because there's conjecture as to whether or not CPM will still be here in January next year, so let's hope they are. But I know of Daryl and Gerald from Anime World Order has been beating on about Votoms for years now, so this should make them, you know, kind of happy. In other news, Yahoo Movies have posted up an exclusive list of the Autobots and Decepticons who will appear in Michael Bay's version of the Transformers movie next year in 2007. On the list is the Autobots have Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Jazz, Ratchet and Ironhide, and on the Decepticon side, Megatron, Starscream, Brawl, Bonecrusher, Barricade, Scorponok, Frenzy and Blackout. Now, I know Transformers from the old school stuff, so some of these names are familiar and some of them aren't, so I think some of these are either completely made up stuff or they're from the Transformers Armada and Transformers Energon series, which I consider to be, well, pants. In other news, Bang Zoom Entertainment, they're well known as an English dub studio in the United States. They're holding a boot camp for potential voice actors from... Sorry folks, I'm just reading the title off. Lex Lang and Sandy Fox will be hosting the all-day event. I think it's in September sometime. You guys can pre-order it from bangzoomentertainment.com/voice_acting_school/. You can go on. It's, I think it's $299. Sandy Fox has done stuff as Harmony and Hi Hi Puffy for the Cartoon Network, Samoa and Chobits. She's the voice of the Tachikomas in Ghost in the Shell, and she's the voice of Hannah in Astro Boy. Lex Lang has done voice work such as Nagira in Witch Hunter Robin, Captain Harlock in Captain Harlock, and has played several characters in the Magic Ray Earth Knights, and also is Sanosuke Sagara in Rurouni Kenshin. There you go. For all you budding voicing actors there who want to join in, go ahead. Good luck, and may the embarrassment and pain begin. Oh yeah, another piece of information just caught my attention. Animego has licensed Yawara, a fashionable judo girl. We expect the first box set in early 2007, their website reads, though we can't guarantee this. The only thing the article says of any importance in this is that Yawar is Animego's first anime license since the You're Under Arrest TV series back in 2001. So, huge. Okay, the next stuff that I've got for you on news comes from AnimeUKNews.net, and I want to thank Thunder from Podomatic for directing me to this place. It's just basically, it comes from the same place. You know, if you read the headlines on the Anime UK News, they're basically the same as Anime News Network. Some of them come from independent sources that Anime News Network don't have, and you know, the chances are whatever gets posted here will get posted on the ANN. So, anyways, apparently Ursula K. Le Guin, the author of the original Earthsea novels, has posted up her own somewhat disappointed reviews of the movie Gendo Seki, which is Tales from Earthsea, which is Studio Ghibli's directorial debut for Goro Miyazaki, which, you know, a lot of people earlier in the year were talking about the fact that the two Miyazakis were not talking to each other, they weren't spending any time with each other, but apparently one of the main people at Studio Ghibli has been saying that this has been completely blown out of proportion. It's just that the two men just don't want to tread on each other's toes, and that this whole rivalry rubbish has been blown completely out of proportion. But getting back to Le Guin's comments, she is somewhat disappointed in the review, in which she communicates her regret that Gendo Sekai wasn't directed by Hayao Miyazaki, along the way highlighting her fascinating experience and interactions with the world-famous anime studio. I've read a bit more about this. Apparently, Gendo Sekai, when it was premiered at Studio Ghibli for the author, Goro kind of walked away from it and blogged on his own site that he thought that she was not impressed, but, you know, was, you know, happy with it. But according to her own website, she's not terribly enthusiastic. But then she does say in it that she's not particularly happy with it, but that it's not her book, it's a film based on her book, and therefore she shouldn't really be projecting her own problems and insecurities on the project. Another piece of news that caught my attention, well, actually, this is one of two pieces of news that caught my attention when I was on the site. The Chinese government has banned foreign animation from primetime TV. According to the ANN, the ever-radical Chinese government has banned any animation produced outside of China from airing on primetime TV. That's between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. And frustrations that American and Japanese cartoons are proving more popular than the own country's domestic efforts. Obviously, this means that China's home market animation studios can now, you know, basically have free reign over the airways. But I was reading about this, Rolling Stone China got published once, just once, its first issue, and it was banned by the Chinese government, even though it was a cooperation between Rolling Stone and the Chinese media company. Earlier in the year, Japanese animations and foreign animation in general kind of cut that back to 40% of the airwaves, and now the Chinese government has banned it outright. So this can go two ways. This will either destroy the animation market in China, because it'll mean that the Chinese studios are going to have to work overtime to fill the gap. Or we might see the emergence of a new animation industry that'll rival Korea, if not Japan. Because at the moment, 90% of the in-between work for for Japanese anime is done by Korean animators. I mean, The Simpsons is handled entirely, the regular animation is handled entirely in Korea, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Hiro Takada Suzuki, the voice of Bright Noah from Zeta Gundam and Charles Counterattack, has died on the 6th of August from lung cancer. He's best known for those two roles in Gundam, but he's also known for his name for his performances as Hajimeda Sito from Rurouni Kenshin and Tateiwaki Kino of Ranma Half. So our condolences go out to his family and friends. That, folks, wraps up the news. I'm going to go into the reviews. I got some good reviews. I'm going to do some promos first. I don't know what I've got in the promos box today, but it'll just be a mix today. In the reviews, I will be reviewing Jinku Shoujo, or Hell Girl. And on the manga side of things, I will be reviewing the first three volumes of Sergeant Frog, or Kuroro Gunso. Back after these.
Running a ninja clan in the high-tech world of the 21st century is serious business. Just one slip-up and you can find your head nailed to the gate of a rival clan's village.
Enter the Ninja Consultants, a team of dedicated individuals working to make certain your next mission is a successful one. Services include
Ninja Actuarial Services. Think there's a traitor in your midst? Ninja Consultants' internal auditors will uncover plots and conspiracies in your clan and finger a culprit. Guaranteed.
Crisis Management. Did some boastful genin summon an ancient demon and now half your clan is dead or zombies? Ninja Consultant's Turnaround Specialist will help you restructure your clan and streamline your new operation by cutting loose the dead weight and rotting flesh.
Human Resources. Are your ninjas constantly dying all the time? They may just be unmotivated. Ninja Consultants is a demonstrated leader in inspiring ninjas to new levels of productivity so your clan can reach its most competitive assassination quota ever.
Ninja Consultants, the first and only name in clan value enhancement and anime podcasting.
At www.ninjaconsultant.com.
Or on LiveJournal under the username Ninja Consultant.
Or you can search for us in the iTunes store. Just look for ninjas, consultants, ninja consultants, or anime.
Though you might have to look pretty hard under that last one.
Ninja Consultants. We get paid more than regular ninjas. I don't know what a podcast is.
That's fine, I don't know what consultants do.
Oh, Bryce, you naughty, naughty boy. You need a spanking.
OtakuGeneration.net, letting you see how crazy we really are. Catch us every Wednesday for news, reviews, and stuff you can use for the otaku in you.
Reviews.
3, 2, 1, fire!
Okay, the manga this week is Kuroro Gunso. Now, Kuroro Gunso literally translates in Japanese to English as Sergeant Frog. Now, Sergeant Kuroro, a frog-like alien, crash lands on Earth as part of an invasion force here to take over the Poco Pen planet, or Earth, as the locals call it. Unfortunately, a series of mishaps mean that the invasion force retreats before it makes its presence known. However, Sergeant Kuroro and his squad of four other guys, frogs really, get stranded on Earth because the invasion force cannot come back for them. So this means that they are stuck there until the invasion force can come back. So, Kuroro finds his way to the Hinata household. Apologies. Just coming to me. The Hinata household. This consists of Aki, a mother who's a manga editor, and a complete nutter. How can you describe her? Crazy would be a good idea. Natsumi, the older sister, who's she's good at school, but she's a complete tyrant at home. She's also the meanest roundhouse kick I've ever seen. And Fuki, the little brother of the group, who is kind of like the weird occult guy. He's into paranormal stuff, ESP, beyond the grave stuff, horror stories, and aliens. So naturally, he falls head over heels in love with Kuroro and the concept that he's got an alien living under his roof. Unfortunately, Kuroro, in order to live in the house, has to conduct daily chores. That means washing, ironing, cleaning, cooking. Kuroro himself is amazing in the fact that he's a great hero and anti-hero at the same time. He shears between being nice when he's around Fuyuki, who, you know, treats him as, you know, just a regular friend, to being completely insane and maniacal when everyone's back is turned. He's joined by his, so far in the manga that I've read so far, he's joined by his squad mates, Tatama, who, how can I describe Tatama? He doesn't like flies. That's all I will tell you. You'll have to read the manga to see what I'm talking about. Also joining him is Giroro, who is colored red, and Tatama is colored kind of bluish to aquamarine, kind of dark navy color, and Giroro is green. But Giroro is like the Rambo of the group so far. You know, he's the kind of guy who, upon arriving, camps out in the front garden and lives under the stars, and he's an expert tactician and demolitions expert. He's brilliant at putting traps and whatever. He also has a thing for Natsumi. He likes her because she will not put up with any of his shit, none of it whatsoever. She just puts that fucker down, that's it. But Kuroro has the same problem as well, in the fact that every time he tries to be, you know, an evil dictator and megalomaniac type, every time Fuyuki mentions the word friend around the sergeant, he just comes apart and says, you're all right, I've seen the error of my ways, kind of thing. It's good like that. It's funny. It's it works. Now, so far, as far as I can tell, Kuroro Gunso has been published. I think 28 volumes of it are available in Japan. No, apologies. 7 volumes, 9, 10, 11. You know, I'm just being betrayed by my own info. Okay, as of the 26th of the 7th this year, there are 13 volumes available in Japan. There are 10 volumes available so far from Tokyo Pop. I've picked up the first 3. And I like the characters that have been introduced. Like, Fuyuki has this girl who's interested in him, who also is Tatama's protector, just like, you know, Kuroro lives with the Hinatas. His friend takes care of Tatama, but she is completely psychopathic. She's schizophrenic to the point of the calm side of her likes Fuyuki, and the demonic possessed side of her hates anyone getting close to Fuyuki. That includes his own family, which is going to set itself up. And also, it doesn't help that she's, you know, filthy rich and can do anything she wants. But the thing is, she's such a nice character when she's around Fuyuki that it kind of cancels out her evil side. So her and Tatama are equally matched. All in all, I like this series. It's available at the moment on fansubs. I think 52 episodes are so far available. As far as I know, it's going into production for, like, the movie. There's, like, a movie available. But I think, as far as I know, one of the big things I noticed about this show was the anime version of it is directed by, or it's got, you know, it's at some point, it's directed by Junichi Sato, who you may remember from being the director of Kaleidostar and Sailor Moon. So for him to do something like this is brilliant. Only thing is, it's rated 13 for teenagers, so it'll have violence, bad language, nudity, that sort of thing. But, you know, if you're 13 and above, you'll like it. And if you're not 13, well, I warned you, okay? I was a responsible adult here. You can't say that I wasn't. Okay, moving on. I will do one promo in between this, and then I will run straight into the anime review of Jinku Shoujo.
The following story is entirely true. No matter how many times it seems fake, no matter how many times it seems like a bad science fiction novel, it's entirely true. Now sit back, as I tell you what really happens to the dreams of the young.
The year of Hero Special continues, only not the way you expected it. Next time, iFly Essential, Year of Heroes Part 2. Tribute Radio Play, Ultra Geo Unbalance, Stolen Dreams.
Until the next, keep the balance.
And you're very welcome back after that promo. And I'm going to be reviewing now the anime Jigoku Shoujo. I know I mispronounced it in the first half of the show. I'm sorry about that. Okay, what is Jigoku Shoujo? Okay, for the first off, I'm not keep pronouncing this because it's too hard to try and phonetically spell it every single time. I've got to slow down and figure it out. So I'm going to give you the English translation of it. And that is Hell Girl. Okay, so what's Hell Girl about? Okay, the story goes like this. At the stroke of midnight, you can access a particular website that if you get it, at the stroke of midnight, and type in the name of the person who you want revenge against, Hell Girl, or Enma Ai, her name is, will arrive at that person's side and take them to hell directly. And I mean, no wait, no fuss, no muss. You won't be put on hold. It'll be done straight away. Okay, and you're thinking, great, every bully who's ever bullied me, I can just send them to hell. Here's the problem. There is payback for this. I can't do this for free. In order to get this done, she has to have restitution. And what the restitution is, your ass. Specifically, your soul. Your soul will be cast into hell when you die. In other words, your enemy gets taken out now, and you join them sometime after that. So, the question is, and this is posed by both the original manga adaption and the anime, how badly do you hate someone that you would want to send them to hell? All in all, now I've only seen 13 episodes of this show so far. Basically, there's another 13 to go. And what I will do is, I will pause here and let you guys know that it's very hard for me to tell you how the show is progressing because I've only seen 13 episodes. But what I will tell you so far is this. The show began very... Like, I watched the first episode downloaded on Fansub, and it presented itself very much like The Ring in the fact that Enma Ai looks very like the girl from... She's Samara in the English version. It's like Tsunako in the original Japanese version, but whatever. She's very like her. Very jet black hair, hair over her face, that sort of thing. So you're left with a character who looks creepy. But appearances are deceptive. First of all, we think, you know, it's her acting alone. In actuality, she has like a team of people who help her. There's a young lad, a voluptuous looking woman who dresses in traditional Japanese gear by default. And this older guy who doubles both as the cursed doll that I gives the requester of the job. And he's also the... carriage that carries her from wherever it is she lives. And I have to tell you, where she lives, where she lives, it could be described as idyllic if the fact that there was more people around, but there isn't. It's just this isolated valley somewhere, presumably in a Japanese style setting, with one house, and she lives with her grandmother, who we never see. We only ever see her spinning a loom or like a weaving wheel behind the rice paper sliding door. That's it. We never see her grandmother ever, or at least we haven't in the 13 episodes so far. I started this series thinking it was going to be something like The Ring, and it would be horror, 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 horror. Now, the thing is, I find that the focus of this series has changed somewhat in that it's not about, you know, dragging some person who's evil to hell. A lot of the characters towards the end of the first 13 episodes really don't want to do this. You know, so the first couple of people are kind of, yeah, let's go, I don't care what happens to me, evil people, da 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 da. Sorry folks, I just got to adjust my headset for a second. Sorry. And what happens towards the second half of the first 13 episodes is you get to see that some of these characters don't want to be doing this. They would much rather find another way out, but they're not being left with any choice. Quite literally, you're faced with, do I really hate someone enough that I want to go to hell for it? I mean, you know? But some shows, like one or two in particular, I'm not going to say which because I won't spoil it for you, but one or two of them, the ending of them is so open-ended in the fact that, wait a second, they really didn't want to go to hell, and they didn't want to curse the person, and that person really didn't want to be cursed. They were just misunderstood, but still, because the string around the doll, what happens is, I gives it to the requester, and there's like a piece of red string, and she says, if you really, really want them gone, just simply pull the red string. That's the contract fulfilled. And in some cases, you know, the string is pulled accidentally, or it's pulled in a tussle. But what happens is, because the doll is bonded to that particular person who asked for the doll. Whoever pulls the string, it doesn't matter if it's her, him, or somebody else, the contract is carried out as it is the terms of the contract. So even if they don't want it to happen, it's going to happen anyway. I like the artwork in this show. It's different in the fact that it feels like, when it's in reality, it feels like a regular show. But when you're actually looking at it from eye's perspective, it's very much like a watercolor. I don't know how else you can call it that. Studio Dean animated this. They are responsible for such things as Blood Plus for in-between animation, DNA 2, Eureka 7 did in-between animation for it, stuff like that. The manga version is by Miyuki Ito, and apparently, from what I can tell, and I was very surprised by this, this was serialized in Nakayoshi, but apparently as of the 6th of the 7th of this year, only 2 volumes have appeared so far. So my estimation is that they're not run, unless this is like a huge multi-thick volume version of a volume, Studio Dean are basically running off with their own ideas for the show. Now, since I have no way of comparing the manga to the anime at this time, I can't tell you whether or not they did a good job or it's simply filler crap. But whatever way you want to play it, it's a good series. I would suggest you pick this up. I have this really inert feeling that some distributor like Geneon in the United States is going to pick this title up, simply because it's not mainstream enough to warrant the attention of something like Funimation or ADV. But it is just niche enough that Geneon will pick it up. Or, and this is what I'm really fearful of, even though I myself had the misgiving that this was going to be like The Ring when I first watched it, I have this horrible feeling that if someone like ADV or Funimation were to pick it up, they will market this as some sort of Ring derivative. And that will do a complete disservice to the show, because it's not really a horror title. It does have horror aspects and has horror trappings, but it's basically about, you know, it's about the nature of hatred. I mean, how badly do you hate someone that you would curse yourself? An interesting angle introduced into the show has been the recurring character of a reporter who has found out about the Hell Girl, and unlike a lot of people where they simply just dismiss the story as flights of fancy, he takes it deadly serious because, for some strange reason, his daughter has become psychically bonded. And that's the best way I can describe it to Enma Ai. She can see what Enma sees for brief periods. So by using her visions, the reporter can figure out where Enma is going and who Enma is going to curse, basically. But it'll be interesting. Like, I'm waiting to see the next 13 episodes and see what happens.
Wow!
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
That's about it. I will wrap this up now, folks. And what I'll do is I'll run the contact info afterwards. I must again apologize for the lateness of the show. Aaron and Noah from the Ninja Consultant are probably going to kill me, because Aaron asked me like a week or so ago, you know, when's the next show out? And it's like, you know, next couple of days. I'm putting it together. But as always, best laid plans and all that, folks. Again, if you're listening to this, chances are I've posted up both this and the mini rant. You will be able to download both of them from the RSS feed. Oh, one other thing I have to really quickly mention to all you guys. I now have a Frapper map on the website. If you go to eperschoice.podomatic.com, you can check out the Frapper map. Please go onto my Frapper map, sign on, become a friend, leave me a message or a shout out. Again, if you're a part of Podomatic, you can attach yourself as a friend, or you can give me a shout out. Email is, the contact info is coming up. I also have a voicemail Java piece. You can only leave voicemail for 2 minutes, but if you click on it, you'll get a mini screen to say, you know, please press record now, and then you'll be able to check over the voicemail when you're finished. You just plug in a USB mic or a headset and whatever, and leave me a voicemail. I'd love to hear from you guys, I really would. As always, if you need to contact me, the contact info is on the website. It's also coming up at the end of this. Other than that, folks, I will leave you that. So, as always, folks, you know, stay healthy, stay clean. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, and if you do, videotape it. Okay, MacArthur's, shine on. Shine on. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at eberschoice@gmail.com. I'm on Podomatic at eberschoice@podomatic.com. You can leave a voicemail for me at 206-339-3337 or 206-339-EEP. And you can also catch me at the website at eberschoice.podomatic.com.